Good morning. Welcome to the First Presbyterian Church on this beautiful Lord's Day. Just a beautiful sunny day God has given us to worship Him and to sing His praise. Just a few announcements before we begin worship. If you'll open your bulletin, there's one announcement that's in the bulletin and one that didn't make it because it's brand new. The Board of Deacons will meet this Tuesday at 6:30. So all of you who are currently on the board or are rotating on, I know we haven't installed the new deacons yet, but that doesn't mean you don't have to come. So we want all the currently serving deacons and those who are rotating on to attend and have a meeting at 6:30 Tuesday. Now, the session has called a congregational meeting for February 12th. So you'll need to write that in. I'll hope to remember to put it in next week. But February 12th, right after worship, we plan to have a congregational meeting, and the two items will be to hear the presentation of the budget for the coming year, and then second, to vote on the disbursements from the Mary Wharton Fund. So please plan to be in attendance on February 12th for that important congregational meeting. And now let's be called to worship. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Let's stand and worship our God as we sing His praise. Let us pray. Our Lord, as we come into your presence today, give us that hunger and thirst that the psalmist had, that we might long for you the way a deer longs for streams of water, that we might look to you alone to be our refuge and our strength, our present help in this time of trouble. Help us to stop looking to anything else, family, friends, jobs, or savings, for safety or satisfaction, and look instead to you alone, for you alone are worthy of our worship and our praise. Help us to worship you as you deserve, with all our heart, all our soul, all our strength, and all our mind. For we offer our prayers in the name of the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated. And if you will take up your hymnal, our responsive reading today comes from the back of the hymnal, selection 630. Our theme is prayer, and so we'll be looking at this passage during the sermon as well as our other New Testament reading. So you may want to keep this close at hand. Selection 630 comes from Luke's Gospel, chapter 11, and then the last verse comes from John's Gospel, the 16th chapter. I'll read the light-faced print and encourage the congregation to respond with the bold. One time Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. Forgive us our sins, for we forgive everyone who has done us wrong. And do not bring us to hard testing.
And Jesus said to his disciples, Suppose one of you should go to a friend's house at midnight and tell him, Friend, let me borrow 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine who is on a trip has just come to my house, and I don't have anything to offer him.
And suppose your friend should answer from inside, "Don't bother me. The door is already locked. My children and I are in bed, and I can't get up to give you anything." Well, what then? And so I say to you, ask, and you will receive. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you.
For everyone who asks will receive, and he who seeks will find, and the door will be opened to him who knocks.
Now, as bad as you are, you know how to give good things to your children. How much more then the Father in heaven will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him.
Until now you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, so that your happiness may come.
The Lord has indeed blessed us in so many ways. Let's celebrate those blessings as we turn in our hymnals to selection 34. God, my King, thy might confessing. We'll sing all five stanzas and let us stand to sing. We have sung our Lord's praise. Now let us say what we believe about Him using the words of the Apostles' Creed. They are found inside the front cover of your hymnal. Christian, what do you believe?
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Thank you.
Amen. You may be seated. And even though the bulletin says we're going to have installation of ruling elders and the sacrament of infant baptism, that's because I didn't correct it from last week. Instead, we're actually going to have a time with the children, so I invite them to come and have a seat on the front row. That's what you get when you cut and paste. Okay. All right. Got a good group this morning. Got a question for you. Two questions, really. When do you usually pray? What are some times when you pray? At night, when do you usually pray? At lunch? That's a good thing. When do you pray? At school. Okay, these are all great times to pray. And we should, you know, Paul said we should pray without ceasing. Pray all the time. How do we do that, I wonder? One of the things that can help us live in a prayerful state is to remember that prayer is, well, what is prayer? Who are we talking to when we pray? Talking to God. Is God with you all the time? Great. So if one of your friends was with you all the time, could you talk with that friend? Sure. So God's with you all the time, right? So that means you can talk to Him all the time. So it doesn't just have to be at night or when you're having lunch or when you're at school, because God's with you all the time, so you can talk to Him about whatever's on your heart. So what kind of things do you pray for? What do you pray for? You pray for your family? Do you pray for your new little brother? You better. Y'all stood up here and promised you were going to do that, so you better do that. What else? For when you get hurt, when your friends get hurt, or when your cousins get sick? Yeah, I hope you're praying for them. What do you pray for? You have, oh, okay. Your baby doll? Oh. You have real babies? Wow, that's impressive. How does that work? Oh, your cousins. Your siblings. Your little sister and brother. You, wow, they're your babies too. That's great. So we pray for our families. There's a great outline for prayer that I don't know if y'all know. Do y'all know the Lord's Prayer? Can you recite the Lord's Prayer? That's a great outline for prayer. Here's a simpler one. ACTS is an outline for prayer. A stands for adoration. We start our prayers by telling God how wonderful He is and thinking about all the ways that He is amazing. So A could stand for amazing too. C stands for confession. After we tell God how great He is, a good thing to do in prayer is to admit that we haven't always done what we need to do, right? Sometimes we make mistakes, and we need to admit that, because He already knows it anyway, so you might as well tell Him. The third thing is T, and that's thanksgiving. We should always thank God for what He's already given us, for the blessings that we have. And then the last thing is a fancy word, supplication. That basically just means asking God for stuff. So you could say that S stands for stuff. And so you can pray for your family members or for people who are hurt when you're praying for all your other stuff, right? So ACTS, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication, or asking for stuff. And so that's a good outline for prayer. So why don't we have a quick prayer and use that little outline, and then y'all can go and have a good time. Lord, thank You for who You are. Thank You that You are amazing and powerful and kind and good, and that You love us. Lord, we confess that we are not always worthy of that love. We do things we know displease You, and we leave things undone that we know You wanted us to do. We pray for Your forgiveness because of Jesus' death on the cross for us. Lord, we thank You for Jesus. We thank You for our families and our friends and all of the things that You bring into our lives to make us happy and healthy and whole. And Lord, we do pray that You would meet our friends' needs, that You would be with our family members who are sick and who are hurting, and that You would bless us, O Lord, that we might continue to be a blessing to others. And we pray this in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. Thank y'all. And I hope everybody else was kind of listening in, because that's a good outline for prayer for us grown-ups too. As we continue our time of prayer, as we prepare for our time of prayer then, let's take up our hymnals and turn to selection 434 as we sing about the sweet hour of prayer. We'll sing all the stanzas, and let us stand to sing. You may be seated. As we enter into the presence of the Lord, who is with us always, why don't we use that outline that I taught the children, A-C-T-S, Adoration, Confession, Thanksgiving, and Supplication. Let us pray. Our Lord and our God, we do give you thanks and we give you praise for who you are. And Lord, today as we think about prayer, we thank you that you are a God who speaks to your people in Scripture and you are a God who hears your people's prayers. We thank you that you have promised to be with us and that everyone, O Lord, who gathers in your name, as we gather here, we can have the assurance that you are in our midst. We thank you, Lord, that we're not just talking into the air. We're talking to you, and you're listening. And so we praise you, O Lord, that you are a God who is present. And Father, we confess that even though you are present, a lot of times we act as though you're not. Lord, we give ourselves over to worry and anxiety and even to despair as if you're not here to help us. As if you are not powerful to save us. Lord, all too often we behave as though you are not real or that you perhaps don't matter or maybe even that you don't care. When we make up our own rules for what's right and wrong and do what makes sense to us instead of what's in your Scripture, Lord, we're neglecting you. We're dishonoring you. But we thank you, Lord, that you chose not just to be God with us in a spiritual way, but to be God with us in a physical way, that you came to be with us in the person of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. We thank you, O Lord, that he died for us and he rose from the dead and that he lives and reigns with you and that he even now is praying for us as our great high priest. And we thank you, O Lord, that because of the perfect life and sacrificial death and resurrection of Jesus, we can pray with confidence for all of those things that we know we need. And so we thank you, Lord. We thank you for our family and our friends. We thank you for our church. We thank you, O Lord, for the measure of health that you have given to each one of us. We thank you for the privilege of prayer and for the opportunity of lifting up our friends, our loved ones, our joys, and our concerns to you. We thank you, O Lord, for who you are and what you've done for us. And looking forward, O Lord, we thank you for what you're going to do. We thank you that you're not just a God who hears prayer, but that you're a God who answers prayer. And so as we lift up our supplications, O Lord, let us do that with thanksgiving for what you've done and thanksgiving for what you're going to accomplish. We pray for our family members, for our friends who can't be with us today because of their sickness. Some are just on journeys. Lord, we pray for those who cannot be in worship today that you would be present with them. We pray, our Father, for those who do know you, but who are estranged from you. They have allowed their disappointments to push them away from you. Lord, we pray that you would bless them and encourage them. Lord, we pray for those who are grieving the loss of loved ones, that you would be very close to them and remind them, O Lord, of your saving power, not just for them, but for those whom they love. And grant them, O Lord, the hope of the resurrection, that they see their loved ones again, all those who love and trust the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we pray for those who proclaim your name in very difficult circumstances. We lift up to you our brother Andrew Brunson, who is in prison. And we pray for him and his wife that you would rule and overrule in that situation, that you would allow him to come home. Father, we pray for those who don't yet know the Lord Jesus. We pray that you would open the eyes of the blind and the ears of the deaf, and that you would use the example and the testimony of your witnesses to bring many unto yourself. We pray for our church plants in Texas and Louisiana. We pray for our missionaries overseas as they are proclaiming the gospel. Lord, give wings to their words. And let those words fly into the hearts of those who hear and take root and grow and produce love and faith and hope within their listeners. And Father, we would pray the same thing for ourselves as we study your word. We pray that you would challenge us as we're studying prayer. Challenge us to pray more consistently, more fervently. But Lord, we also pray that your word would comfort and console us and remind us of your great blessings, of your promises, promises on which we can rely. For you will never leave us, you will never forsake us, you'll never turn away from those whom you have called in Jesus Christ. For we offer this prayer in his name and for his sake. Amen. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. Let's worship our God as we give unto Him His tithes and our offerings. Let us pray. God, you have come to be with us in the person of your Son. We thank you for that great gift. And we would offer gifts unto you today. Gifts of our substance, as we have placed in the offering plate, but also gifts of ourselves. We pray that you would take us, heart, soul, mind, and strength, and use us however you will. For we offer this prayer in the name of the one who came to be God with us, our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today, as we seek to learn to pray, we turn to John's first epistle, the fifth chapter, and we'll be looking at these few verses of John's letter along with our responsive reading from Luke's gospel. Teach us to pray. 1 John chapter 5, beginning with verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. Now that's God's word. And over the first few weeks of this new year, we've been looking at the means of grace, the ways in which God normally brings his grace into our lives. On New Year's Day, we celebrated the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, a visible, a tangible way of coming into spiritual contact with Christ. Last week, as we celebrated the sacrament of infant baptism, we rejoiced in God's gift of the church, the covenant community. And today we turn our attention to prayer, the way that God has given us to communicate directly with him, the one who has created us for his glory. Now we all pray. We've said the Lord's Prayer together this morning, the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples in our responsive reading. But lest we become complacent about prayer, let's think about what John is saying in the first few verses of our reading from his letter. John says that if we ask God anything according to his will, God hears us. And if God hears us, then we know that we have the requests we have asked of him. John is so sure that God answers prayer, he says we should consider that our asking is as good as receiving. John says we have the petitions. We have whatever it is for which we have asked. Now, that's a rather sweeping statement, isn't it? But it's not really different from what Jesus said in our responsive reading. Ask, and you will receive. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. Jesus doesn't seem to be setting any limits on the blessings that God will pour into our lives through prayer. And Jesus doesn't stop there, does he? In fact, most of our responsive reading is an encouragement not just to pray, but to keep on praying, to persevere in prayer. The example Jesus gives is that of a man who has had unexpected company show up at his house late at night. In his desperation, he goes next door to get something to serve his guests. Because of the late hour, his neighbor is hesitant to go through the hassle of waking up everyone in his household so he can accommodate his friend. But Jesus says that because of the desperate man's perseverance, because he keeps on knocking at the door, eventually his reluctant friend will help him out. So what is the point of that story? Jesus' argument is simply this: if we are confident that even our unwilling friends will meet our needs if we keep on asking them, how much more should we expect God to answer our prayers if we'll only persevere? After all, Jesus goes on to say that sinners like us know how to give good gifts to our children. So how much more is the perfect, loving God going to be willing to give us whatever we need? And if we were to read that text from Luke in the original Greek, it would give even more meaning to Jesus' words. For when he tells us ask, seek, knock. He's using the Greek present tense, the way the Greeks indicated continuing action. In other words, Jesus is really saying, keep on asking and you will receive. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and that door will be opened. Keep on praying. Persevere in prayer and expect God to bless you. Now that's God's word. And it's pretty clear. But it's also clear that this sort of teaching can be easily misunderstood or perhaps even abused. Perhaps you've heard of the health and wealth gospel that so many of those TV preachers are peddling. Perhaps you've heard them. Just lay your hand on the TV and send in a generous donation, and God will give you a Cadillac. Now, other folks with perhaps more genuine piety preach a similar version of the same idea. Perhaps you've heard folks say, well, if you've got a problem, it's because you haven't prayed about it. Or maybe you haven't prayed about it with the right amount of faith. And that encourages us to start doing that spiritual navel gazing and look inside and wonder if I have enough faith. Maybe that's why God hasn't blessed me. But let's look in the mirror for a minute before we look at those ideas. Have we, in fact, received everything we've ever asked for in prayer? Maybe you prayed for a specific job or for a promotion that you didn't get. Or maybe you prayed for a loved one to be healed only to see him or her go on to be with the Lord. Or maybe you've prayed for a relationship to be restored only to see it fragment beyond repair. Doesn't take too long to think of an example like that, does it? And some people have lost hope. Some people neglect prayer in the face of such obvious disappointments. Some have gone so far as to turn away from the Christian faith. So what do we do with these very clear passages of Scripture? In light of our personal experience, how can we persevere in prayer if God doesn't, in fact, give us everything we want? Can we believe what Jesus is saying? Can we believe what John is saying? We can. If we'll understand prayer a little more relationally, we can if we take a deeper dive into both of these passages. For the fact is, our prayer doesn't just need to be steadfast. Our prayers also need to be in accordance with God's purposes. They need to be in agreement with God's will. That is, after all, what John tells us in verse 14. Only those prayers that are in line with God's plans have any hope of being answered. And again, this should be common sense. We know very well we shouldn't expect God to answer our prayers if they were for something silly like, God, I want to climb up on top of this church steeple and jump off and not be hurt. Great, I'll take you to the hospital. We know we shouldn't expect God to answer the selfish sorts of prayers like for the Cadillacs that all those TV preachers are peddling. We know that. But let's be honest, we also know that all of our prayers aren't silly and all of our prayers aren't selfish. So what about those other prayers? What about those disinterested prayers? What about prayers for healing for our loved ones? What about prayers for broken relationships or for justice or for peace in the world? Why doesn't God answer those prayers? Why doesn't God give us those things? Well, the problem with prayers that God doesn't choose to answer, at least in the way we think He should, it isn't just that those prayers are somehow sinful or selfish. The problem is that all of our prayers are limited in vision. Sure, we may earnestly ask for a blessing for ourselves or our loved ones, a blessing that may in and of itself be a good thing. But as we persevere in prayer, we must remember that God can see a lot more of the picture than we can. So if we are to pray according to God's will, as John tells us we should, we must remember that sometimes God says no today so He can say yes tomorrow. God may say no today so He can do something even greater tomorrow. Remember what Jesus said in our responsive reading. He said, God, our Heavenly Father, knows how to give good gifts to His children. The answer to our prayers is what I told the kids on the front row this morning. God is with us all the time. He's with us. That means we need to trust Him. We need to trust that He knows what we need and He knows when we need it better than we do. You see, our faith doesn't just need to be in the power of prayer. Sometimes you hear people talk about the power of prayer. Prayer's not a substance. Prayer's a conversation. Our faith needs to be in the one with whom we're having the conversation. It needs to be in the loving, the all-knowing God to whom we pray. Okay, so if we need to persevere in prayer, four things that God knows is best for us, then what do we do about those unanswered prayers? Well, John gives us some advice on this, but he deals with spiritual concerns first in verses 16 and 17. And this is some strange stuff because he says we should pray when we see that our Christian brothers and sisters have fallen into sin. Now, I know that's a little odd. We are accustomed to praying that God would forgive our own sins. That sort of confession should be part of that outline of prayer, should be part of our prayer life every day, just as it's part of the Lord's Prayer that Jesus taught us in our responsive reading. But here, John tells us that we can pray that the sins of other people might be forgiven as well. If we see a Christian brother or sister sinning a sin, he says, that doesn't lead to death, we can ask God, and God will give life to that sinning brother or sister. Now, I know we all believe in the power of intercessory prayer, because we've done it. We're ready and willing to pray for our friends and our loved ones when we're sick, aren't we? And haven't we all seen God answer prayers like that? Sometimes in miraculous ways. Well, John is telling us here that the power of intercessory prayer extends not just to physical concerns, but to spiritual concerns as well. Through prayer, we have the power to be the agents, the instruments, not only of other people's healing as we pray for them to get well, but also of other people's forgiveness. Now, praying such prayers should not give us license to think that we're somehow better than those for whom we pray. Even as we pray that God would reveal others' sins to them, we better be praying that God would reveal our sins to us too, right? And if we pray that God will cleanse others of their sins, of course we should pray He would do the same thing for us. But here's where it gets to the question about unanswered prayer. What do we do if our prayers for our friends' spiritual healing go unanswered? Well, I think that's what John is trying to explain in verses 16 and 17 as he makes a distinction between different kinds of sins. Now look, all wrongdoing is sin. All sin is treason against God, and all treason deserves the death penalty. But because of the grace of God, all sin doesn't have the same effect. Because of the grace of God, all sin does not lead to death. Because of the grace of God, some sinners are given new hearts that are able to respond to God in trust, confessing our sins, accepting forgiveness because of the person and work of Jesus Christ. And for those who experience that grace of God in our lives, for those whose sins don't lead to death, God promises that somehow our prayers will help people to come to this point of forgiveness, that our prayers will somehow help these people to contribute to their receiving life instead of the death that their sins so richly deserve. So we have a promise that prayer can bring spiritual healing into people's lives. But just as there are some folks who don't get well after we pray for their physical healing, we cannot deny that there are, in fact, sinners whose sins do lead them to death. There are sinners who never do end up responding to God's grace and love with faith. It's a sad truth, but it's true. There are sinners who continue to walk in the darkness, in the blindness of sin, scorning the very idea that there is light. And for folk like that, the sad truth is that our prayers for them aren't gonna help. Now, we don't know who falls into which category. There are undoubtedly very few people who, while they continue in this life, are so obviously hardened against the gospel that they are without hope. And so even though the second part of verse 16 says there's no sure and certain promise of salvation for everyone, that doesn't mean we shouldn't pray honestly and earnestly that as many people as possible would fall under the promise of the first part of verse 16. In other words, we need to pray with confidence that God would forgive our sins as we trust in Christ for salvation. We need to pray with hope for our Christian brothers and sisters that they would be forgiven, that they would be cleansed, just as we pray for the conversion and the salvation of the world that doesn't yet know the Lord Jesus Christ. But in all of that prayer, we have to trust God to answer our prayers in His way and in His time. Now, why do we pray such prayers? Why do we keep on praying even when our prayers don't seem to be answered? Well, the foundation of our prayer life, for us to understand that, we need to go back to verse 13, the beginning of this passage. The whole reason John is writing this letter is to remind those who trust in Christ that we already have eternal life. John wants us to believe this ever more firmly, trusting in Christ ever more completely, so that as we are more and more filled with the life of Christ and the Spirit of Christ, we might pray with ever more power as our prayers are more in line with the will of Christ. And as we see the world more and more through the eyes of Christ, can we doubt that not only our prayers for ourselves, but also our prayers for our Christian brothers and sisters will be more discerning, will be more loving, and thus will be more powerful and life-changing? Can we doubt that the eternal life that transforms us from within will be ever more used of God to transform the world around us? What did I tell the little kids this morning? You can pray to God all the time because God's with you all the time. Well, it's actually more than that. We can pray to God with confidence because God is in all of us who love Jesus, making us more and more into the likeness of Christ, so that our prayers will be more Christ-like, and thus we will have a guarantee that they will be answered. So, beloved of God, if you are trusting in Christ, you already have eternal life. You already have the Spirit of Christ inside of you. So let's keep on praying. Let's pray with perseverance that God would reveal more and more of His will to us so that our prayers would be in line with that will. Let's pray that God would, that His will would be carried out in His way and in His time in our lives and in the lives of those for whom we pray. Let's pray with perseverance for forgiveness. Let's pray with perseverance for cleansing, and let's pray with the confidence of children of God, knowing that our God delights to hear the prayers of His children, and our God delights to give us good gifts. Our God has died that we might live with Him eternally. So let's trust in Him, and let's keep on praying. Let us pray. Lord, teach us to pray. Not just teach us an outline that we can use to pray, but teach us to pray. To draw so close to you that the things for which we ask would be so saturated with your Spirit that we can be sure that those prayers will be answered. Lord, draw us close to you in prayer that we might know that you are with us and with those for whom we pray. Lord, we pray that your will would be done in our lives and in the lives of our loved ones. We ask this in the name of the one who said that prayer back in the Garden of Gethsemane and who gave everything up for us. We pray in his name. Amen. Let's continue that assurance, that confidence in prayer as we take up our hymnals. We'll turn to selection 431. This hymn begins with an invitation to prayer, and then it turns into a prayer. So we'll sing all four stanzas of hymn 431. Let us stand to sing. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen.